Certainly, yeah. And we can take a look at funding options and bring those back, and then also do some, what I would say, lightweight research on precedent that has been available. Again, resident-only areas being used for resident permits, I would propose that I don't think we're talking about turning Atlantic Avenue into a resident-only. Those are public spaces, but I think we can get some precedent information that would give us some direction to build the confidence that we're not going down that path. We've got a vast team that can provide that, and would be happy to provide that again for you all.
Am I wrong? Atlantic Avenue, where can you park on Atlantic Avenue? That's public spaces. You can.
Mayor. Yeah, there's a couple spaces, maybe four or five at Ponce Preserve.
Correct.
There's also this complex right here.
I'm sorry, I meant on the street.
Oh, on the street.
On
okay.
the street, yeah. Because Atlantic Avenue, I don't think there's any. My focus is the residential streets. I'm telling you that right now. That is my focus. It is not Atlantic. It is what it is. It's county, and when people park there, you have to drive around them, and they should get ticketed. But it's the residential parking for our residents.
Exactly. That's okay. What we call this, a residential parking permit. It means residential streets, not just, you know, residents.
And again, that's from the case I can recall, a key factor is finding that it creates a safety issue to allow non-residents to park there that justifies a distinction, because these are still public streets, that justifies making a distinction between residents and other members of the tax-paying public. So part of the study, in order to make this thing viable, is my recollection, is going to have to be that goes to that safety concern and issue where others might not.
Thank you, Cliff. Mr. Shannon, did you want to say something?
We have a lot of parking, whether it's legal or not, on Atlantic Avenue, especially construction. And I brought this up before about our site, the condition of our shoulder and sidewalks. Are the sidewalks Ponce Inlet property?
Not on Atlantic.
Or is it the county?
Not on Atlantic, but yes, on the other streets there.
Okay, on Atlantic, it's Volusia County.
Yes. Then,
okay. Well, we need to coordinate with Volusia County because we have an issue. You can just head down and look at the condition of our sidewalks, okay? And it's because of all these construction companies coming in and with this heavy equipment and breaking them up. And you look at that you look at it even on the side streets where we've had some houses built or renovated or whatever. We've had sidewalks put in, and you know, a year later they're destroyed because of, you know, and we don't have a before and after. You know, when you permit somebody to build something, it should be, this is the condition that you have to reestablish. This is a precedent. This is the way it was. This is the way it should be when you leave.
Thank you.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not happening, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it's happening not only on Atlantic. Atlantic's worse, but it's happening throughout our town.
Noted. Thank you, Mike. Okay. Well, so I think we know where... You know what you're going to provide us with. We appreciate that. We thank you for your time. I guess we needed to have this conversation so that you know where we're headed.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're happy to facilitate.
Thank you.
Certainly.
And we
thank
really
you.
Appreciate Mead and Hunt. You've been there for us for many, 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 many years. Thank you so much for your time and the presentation. Thank you. Okay. And now... Okay, our Embry-Riddle University to construct a living seawall at Ponce Preserve. Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, back in this past November, a team from Embry-Riddle, led by Dr. Parita, had presented a workshop at the community center on the concept of living seawalls. This was well attended. He had a team from Embry-Riddle University, Bethune-Cookman, and some others, to prevent this concept of what this would look like. After that meeting, I asked the town council if you would like me to begin discussions with him to see if there's any way we could partner or support his efforts here in Ponce Inlet. We've had these discussions since then, which has kind of led up to this point. He and his team are applying for a grant through the National Science Foundation. An opportunity here for us would be to, if the town were to partner with him, and if the grant is awarded, then the town would receive money in which to build a quote-unquote living seawall along a portion of the shoreline, the oceanfront shoreline at Ponce Preserve, which is currently unprotected right now other than trap bags that have been installed by Volusia County and which are going to be removed with the county's beach restoration project. As part of this arrangement, the town would be a co-applicant with this grant. Embry-Riddle would handle the money, and we would simply be a pass-through for that. We would essentially be in the role of running the project. We would get invoices from our contractors. We would pass those along to Embry-Riddle, and then we would be paid right back. So we've run this by our finance team. They're okay with this. They think this could work. There would ultimately be no cost to the town to do this. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Dr. Parita. He's going to present his proposal, and then we are looking after this for direction from the town council of what level you would like us to participate.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Mayor and council members. I am Siddharth Parida. I'm an assistant professor in civil engineering at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. My business address is 1 Aerospace Boulevard, Embry-Riddle, Daytona Beach, 32114. This is the first time I'm ever presenting in front of a city council or a town council, so please forgive me if I am not quite well-polished in this. So we started as a stage one project. Please stop me and ask me questions throughout my presentation. I'm okay with that. We started as a stage one project. We are one among 53 teams that were selected for a first round stage one planning grant. We did a series of workshops around Volusia County, met with a lot of residents and heard their opinion about coastal resiliency in general and nature-based solutions in particular. So the stage two objectives are this is about stage two. First, CIVIC is a 12-month grant that is funded through National Science Foundation, supported by Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security through FEMA, and U.S. Department of Agriculture. So the stage two award is up to $1 million. We want to implement a pilot project. We want to assess its long-term impact, and we want to scale it and make it sustainable and transferable. So there are three pillars of this project. The first is to identify site, come up with the permittable engineering design, construct the permittable structure, and then have some community activities around that area, which is education, planting trees, and all those stuff. Then the long-term impact we want to assess through GPR. So these are the science questions that we want to answer. We want to use GPR to monitor how the plant roots are going under the soil. We want to have some drones. We want to measure which part of the ponds coastline there is soil erosion and which part of the coastline has soil accumulation and those kind of things. As a site, we are hoping that the council will allow us to have this pilot project implemented in the Ponce Preserve, the ocean side of it. We want to first, so this is the conceptual design that we have. Of course, I mean, the beach might look quite different when this project starts in October, if we get funded. So we want to first have coquina rocks. We want to keep everything as much natural as possible. We want to have coquina rocks to prevent any further erosion, toe scouring that has already happened. Then we want to put beach quality sand and vegetation on top of it. The sand would help foster sea turtle nesting, and the vegetation will prevent any further soil erosion. That's the idea. We also want to look at new technology like having stainless steel meshing around the coquina rocks to make them further stable and not get them washed away into the ocean in case of a major hurricane. We also want to see how, if we can prevent erosion of the artificial dune that we will construct on top of the coquina rocks through jute textiles and all kind of natural biodegradable material. Next, we also want to assess the long-term impact. We want to have some drones flying across the coastline to assess which part of the coastline is more susceptible to erosion and which part of the coastline there is accumulation of sand. Because over the last 6 months, we have seen that many part of the coastline are actually having sand accumulation. This will inform the county or other stakeholders as to which part to target for beach nourishment. We also want to have a living shoreline council as a part of the bigger picture, where we want to engage county members and various stakeholders, residents, so that we think about this idea of living shoreline together. Now, recently I learned that over my research about this topic of living shoreline, that Florida government passed a bill, House Bill 317, that directs Florida Department of Environmental Protection to look into this kind of nature-based solutions to protect the coastline. So we hope that this would serve as a pilot project, and we are trying to get in contact with FDEP. We presented this research to FDEP and they were excited about it. Volusia County is going to be a partner. They are a partner in stage one. They will be a partner in stage two. Presented to FDEP. They were very excited about it. We talked about this project with Army Corps. They were also very excited about it. So we have a lot of support from state, local, and broader national federal government. And this is, of course, being funded by FEMA if we get funding also. So we do have appetite for a nature-based shoreline restoration. So with that, if you guys have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer it.
Does anyone have any questions? Go ahead, Skip.
Sorry.
No, well, it sounds like it can help, and it's not going to cost us anything. Yeah. We get something.
Yeah. I just have a few. And again, you touched on them, but again, I know I asked this question when you had your presentation over at the community center. So the coquina, I continue to hear different stories about the use of coquina. It is approved. It's not approved. It's approved until April 2025. Is the coquina approved? Our beach ramp would be number two, and then how would this coincide with the beach restoration program that's going to be starting? And I know I looked at, on your thing, and it was like October 1st, potentially, that the money would be awarded and be starting. So that's like three questions.
Coquina rocks are approved, from my understanding, and this is a pilot project, so we can present it in terms of that this is a pilot project and county is a partner. They can voice this concept to the FDP and Florida Flood Hub, and we can install this as a pilot project. About the beach restoration efforts, although this starts in October, we cannot start construction in October because our engineering design permitting will take 3 to 4 months. So I think it will help. It will be a good addition to the beach restoration effort that the county is doing. It does not take away anything from that.
Okay. And again, the reason I brought that up is October 1st, it said the grant program is for 12 months. Yes. So if you get through the designing stage, you would still have plenty of time to get everything wrapped up before the end of the 12 months.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The plan. We might have to apply for some no-cost extension for 3-4 months, but yes, okay. We should be able to do it.
Bill?
First, I love that Kim thinks the way it's being funded is perfect because I trust her never having a bad audit, so I like that. But I noticed that you're doing 150 feet of a sample in the project. That's what it said in the thing, you're doing 150 feet. in item 15, Mike showed that that whole area is 1,000 feet. If this works, is there a possibility that we would be able to expand this to the other 850 feet, or that would have to be entirely done at a different time?
We have to explore that. At this point, I cannot say that. We have to explore that option of a stage three, or maybe from some other funding agency to ask them money to extend.
I was just curious because I noticed in your notes it said that the trap bags, when they start the pumping, are going to be removed. And to me, being just a naive little guy, to me, the trap bags are there, cover them up. In 92, when the Army Corps of Engineers pumped the sand along the beach, I think that's the last time they did a big pumping. I could be wrong, but I think I'm pretty close. All the snow or sand fences that were there, they just poured the sand right on top of them. They didn't move a thing. And I really hate to see the trap bags going.
Going, yeah.
You know, hey,
I believe I can
work.
Address that.
They work.
Yeah, that's a condition of the county's permit. When they were allowed to put those in, they had to get a permit from DEP. That was a condition of their permit that they removed them. Now they're going to leave the sand. They just have to take the bags out.
It kills me. And I don't remember the county's the group that keeps taking that tractor and dumping the sand into the ocean instead of turning it. How many years? Okay.
Thank you. So your preference, from what I'm hearing then, is we would join in on the grant application as a civic partner.
I can't wait to see it happen because we were going to go ahead, our complex was going to go ahead and buy the six different plants that you had up on your picture at that program, and we decided to hold off until the sands can, and we can see how you guys do before we go and spend the money to do the same thing.
That's something we're going to have to decide on. Gary, do you have a preference or any questions if we move forward with this on whether the town should join in on the grant application versus letting them do it without us? Because then it would be a shorter, right? It would be a shorter seawall if we don't do the work with them.
I'm not sure. I don't have an answer to that.
Okay. Skip?
I'm good.
You're good with
yes.
it?
Yes.
Joe? Good. Are there any questions of the audience as to the project itself or moving forward with this? Because this is wonderful. I thank you. I thank you for the presentation at the community center, and this is wonderful. And I believe that we will want to move forward, but joining in on the grant application, as long as Kim indicated, she's fine with it. So if that's the case and there's no questions, nobody has anything else to say, would someone, do you need a motion? Or
just consensus. But yeah, before you do that, I just wanted to mention, maybe we'll help clarify, the grant amount, from what I understand, it's a set amount.
Yeah.
You know, so you have one pot of money. If you're awarded, you get this much. So then it depends on how you want to use it. Do you want to, if the town is a partner, then we get to use more of that, and that translates into a longer seawall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Does everyone understand that? Yes. That's our understanding, and I think that's how we'd like to move forward, and we have more than a consensus. I think everybody agrees to do that. You did a wonderful job. You were quite polished, and now you have one council presentation. We thank you so much, and we look forward to working with you. Do you have any questions of us?
No, I just wanted to make sure that the grant money, that's a $550,000 said amount, and we will work. So the design I showed you is not, that's our concept. We still have to work with DEP and engineering to actually come up with the final design.
Well, we understand working with them.
Awesome.
Right?
So did you hear that amount? $550,000.
Yes, yeah. We heard that. That's heard good. That. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. This is good.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are now up to 8C, Appointment to the Cultural Services Historic Preservation and Tree Advisory Board. Is that Stephanie?
That'll be Stephanie, yep.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. The Cultural Services Historic Preservation and Tree Advisory Board consists of 7 seats. The only seats currently available are for alternate seats 1 and 2. Ms. Kimberly Canny has applied for appointment to the board, and she informs staff that she has reviewed the training materials as required by the application and continues to review the minutes from previous meetings. She expressed her regret for being unable to attend today's meeting, but with that, if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Stephanie. I think we all know Ms. Canny as the as a business owner here, the ice cream, right? Yeah. So does anyone have any questions of Stephanie or anything? None. Anyone in the audience have any questions? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion for appointment to the Cultural Services Board, Historical Preservation, and Tree Board of Ms. Canny.
Thank you. Motion, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. We are now at the Essential Services Advisory Board appointment, agenda item 8D. Stephanie?
Good afternoon again, Mayor and Council. The Essential Services Board consists of 10 seats. Each seat requires a background in a specific discipline, and the only seats currently available are alternate seat 2 for Fire Rescue EMS, alternate seat 3 Engineering, and alternate seat 4 CPA Financial. Mr. Matt Montgomery has applied for appointment to seat 4, the CPA Financial discipline. Mr. Montgomery intended to be present today, but informed staff he was feeling under the weather, so out of consideration, he is not in attendance. He stated he has reviewed the training materials as required by the application and has also reviewed minutes from previous meetings. If you have any questions, I'm free to answer.
Does anyone have any questions about Mr. Montgomery? No. We've all had the opportunity to look at the application. Does anyone have any questions in the audience? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
I make a motion to approve Matt Montgomery for a seat on the Essential Services Board under the Finance section.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Stephanie, thank you so much for that. 8E, reappointment of Chief Glazier to the Opioid Abatement Funding Advisory Board. Chief?
While he's walking up here, I just wanted to mention that this appointment was initially made by council, so this is why this is coming back for you today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Good afternoon. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. So this is a request for a reappointment to the Volusia County Opioid Abatement Funding Advisory Board. I had a 2-year term, and that term is up this month, so I am seeking reappointment. Basically, the board just assesses the most crucial needs in the community related to the opioid crisis, and then awards grants to qualified agencies to provide opioid abatement services. So the County of Volusia was awarded approximately $35.5 million in the opioid settlement, and those funds are brought to Volusia County over an 18-year period. We're currently in year 3 of the settlement. Our board has received about $8.4 million of those $35.5 million, and we've awarded $2.6 million to different agencies and individuals after reviewing all their applications.
Does anyone have any questions of Chief Glazier? We thank you for participating in this. This is very important. Does anyone in the audience have any questions of Chief Glazier? Okay, do you need a motion or a consensus?
Consensus would be fine.
I think it's unanimous.
Okay.
We're very appreciative. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mike. Okay, we are up to now item 12A, consideration of town donation to the Volusia Tax Collectors Kids Tag Art Program. Mike?
Yes, thank you. At your meeting last month, you heard a presentation from Volusia County Tax Collector Will Roberts and Holly Smith about their Kids Tag Art Program. This is a program by which they sell tags, and these tags are created by elementary school kids. And this program is done to provide money, then they take the proceeds from that and then provide those to participating schools to help with arts education. The group that was there to present last month did not make a specific request for amount, but that's what why they were here. They would like the town to contribute as a sponsor to this program. Now, the town council does have an adopted donations policy by which there's a certain amount of money set aside each year that goes into the legislative operating budget. It's been $1,000 each year for the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, but has not been used. The donations policy says that 75% to 80% of any kind of contribution for charitable purposes must go to human and animal services, with the remaining 20-25% can go toward cultural or recreational opportunities. If you're going to go with the maximum amount under the human and animal services category, that would be $750 with the amount that's budgeted. Now, the Tag Art program does have a series of sponsorship levels, which are provided in your packet. The one that would come to $750, that's the silver level sponsor, and that gets you an award of distinction, a business name listed as a sponsor, and recognition, on their Facebook page. So these are options available to you if the town council wishes to proceed that way. This is entirely at your discretion.
Thank you, Mike. You recall the presentation we had from the tax collector's office. They also presented at the round table. Does anyone have an opinion if you would like to move forward with a donation for this?
Comment.
No. What was that?
No comment.
No comment.
I have an opinion.
Of course. Oh, I like that. In the mic. Yeah.
100%
okay.
Behind it. The destruction of the art programs in the state of Florida in the public sector, anything that we can do to help these kids is more than deserving.
Thank you, Bill. Skip?
Yeah, and Bill, I agree with you. That's the reason I wanted you to go first, because I know it's near and dear to Bill's heart. And again, from my understanding with Michael, the max we can do currently for this year is $750.
That's correct, yeah. Okay. Anything above that level would have to go into next year's.
Okay. I'm good.
Good with $750. Joe, do you have an opinion?
No question. I'm familiar with this deal.
Okay. So anyone in the audience wish to comment on this particular charitable donation for the children? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll do it. Hold on. I make a motion that we approve the $750 for the Volusia Tax Collector's Will Bartlett's office for the Kids Tag Art Program.
Second.
Did you say the amount? In the amount of $750? $750, okay. And Bill, Joe is second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay. And now we are at 13A, Cost Participation Agreement with Harbor Village, CSA for Public Access Dune Walkover. Is that Mr. Lear?
Yep.
Thank
you.
Mr.
Lear.
Again, good afternoon, Council. As we've discussed previously, during the 2022 hurricane season, the Harbor Village Dune Walkover received significant damage. Since that walkover is open to the public and not just the Harbor Village residents, their association is requesting the town's financial participation in the repair costs. As discussed by Council and approved on August 22nd of last year, the cost to the town shall not exceed $22,987.50. And that signage will be installed indicating that the walkover is publicly accessible. These funds were included in the town's fiscal year 24-25 budget. The cost participation agreement has been approved by legal consultants for both parties as to legal form and content, and is now ready for execution. Some key points of the agreement include: the town shall be held harmless from any claims, actions, losses, damages, injuries, liabilities, costs, and expenses of any kind. The agreement stipulates that all future repairs and maintenance of the dune walkover, which may be required, are the full and sole responsibility of the association. Again, the town's contribution will not exceed $22,987.50 toward the total project costs, and payment made in full upon the issuance of a certificate of completion. And with that, staff recommends approval.
Thank you, Mr. Lear. Are there any questions of Mr. Lear as to the form or the content of the contract?
I think we've discussed this one enough.
Okay. Anyone else?
Nope.
Anyone in the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the Harbor Village Dune Walkover Cost Participation Agreement as endorsed and budgeted by the Town Council of Ponce Inlet in our 24-25 budget.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, this passes unanimously. And thank you so much, Mr. Lear, for your work. Thank you, Council, for your work on this. And now, the Special Magistrate Agreement for Code Enforcement Services. That's yours, too.
Yes, ma'am. Town Council had a special meeting on February 12th to review the two RFQ respondents and approved Vos Law Firm LLP for Special Magistrate Services. The agreement is for a term of 2 years and may be extended for an additional two-year period by mutual written consent of both parties. The agreement has been reviewed and approved by the town attorney for legal form and content and has been approved by Vos Law Firm as well. And also in the agenda was the draft agreement. This went out, when the agenda went out, we didn't have the agreement back from Vos Law Firm at the time. We did receive that a few days ago, and I apologize for not getting that to council sooner. They only had very little minor changes, basically their address, and they did provide an attachment, Exhibit 1, and I'll read that, which states, fee proposal. The Vos Law Firm proposes to provide special magistrate services to the town of Ponce Inlet at a rate of $250 per hour. There would be no additional billing for research expenses such as Westlaw Lexis fees, travel or miscellaneous expenses, copying, phone, fax, courier, etc., and no other costs or expenses that would be billed separately. And I know there was a concern of in the agreement that there wasn't a mention of a backup special magistrate. And if Cliff is okay with this, I would suggest we provide a condition for approval tonight that they maybe do another exhibit for what the backup special magistrate might be and provide it somewhere within the agreement itself.
Yeah, I think we need a name because, again, you're approving not a service, you're approving an individual. And so they need to give you the backup's name so you can put it in the agreement so that if magistrate, I forget her name, it's not here, we know it's somebody else and we know the human. You don't want some random person showing up and, well, I'm your magistrate because I was available today.
Okay, so the Exhibit A on the fee schedule is what we all heard and agreed at the special meeting, so that's not new. And now we do want the backup individual. So any motion will be conditioned on that. Okay. So does anyone have any questions of Darren?
No, nothing. I had the same questions, and they answered,
he answered in it. His presentation. Anyone in the audience? No. Seeing none, then please make the motion and have that conditioned approval in the motion. You can.
I make a motion to approve the Special Magistrate Service Agreement with the Voss Law Firm and authorization for the mayor to execute the agreement once the name of the alternate magistrate has been listed.
Second.
Plus the names of the people that weren't there.
That was
the names of the two magistrates, are they in your presentation?
Just the one.
No, it's just the one, Stephanie
one.
Velo.
That's that's why I made the statement of adding the second one.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Council.
And thank Council, you. If I could add just one thing. We do have another final code board meeting coming up at the end of this month. They had a case already in progress that's coming back to them. So the way this was structured in the ordinance when this changed to the special magistrate is that would take effect after that
It would take effect once a special magistrate is hired. So what we would like to do is have the date on that to be after the code board meeting.
Do you need something formal from us? No.
I don't believe so. No, there's a blank on there if you see at the top of there. And we will just, if that's okay with you, we'll just write in that date after the code board meeting so they get, they have their final meeting, and then we can proceed from there with the magistrate.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Okay. So we're good. We have a special magistrate.
Okay.
Well done. Okay. We're down now to comments from the town council.
After a long, successful meeting, no further comment.
Councilmember Villanella.
Just another session full of, chock full of good information, really, and very interesting. No, just loved it.
Thank you. Councilmember White.
I'll narrow it down to one. As I stated at our last Pontiac Town Council meeting, I attended the Florida League of Mayors Regional Roundtable on January 9th and 10th, held in St. Augustine Beach City Hall, as requested by our mayor. One key takeaway that I picked up was a St. Augustine Beach Plug the Hole program. This program is a collaborative effort between the St. Augustine Beach, St. Johns County, and the Florida DEP. Simply put, this program allows St. Augustine to bring in truckloads of sand to plug the hole that the beach ramp creates. I don't have time to cover all the details, but I've had follow-up conversation with Mayor Dalen Rummel and St. Augustine City Manager Max Royal of how this process actually works. They were very helpful, very willing to assist in any way they could. I'm requesting the support of this council so I can present this to the Volusia County Coastal Direction Division and also the Volusia County Council. This program could benefit each municipality in Volusia County. I'll be attending the long-term coastal resiliency training session on February 26th at Daytona Beach Shores Community Center. This will allow me the opportunity to speak with the county staff, as there will be no formal presentations, but there will be different stations set up covering various topics. And again, you know, the first thing that I thought about when I first heard about this program was the trap bags. And again, they actually in St. Augustine really thought that the trap bags was a wonderful idea. What they currently have is they truckload sand in. They have a compatible sand for the beaches. So before a impending hurricane hits, they bring in, they said, approximately 15 loads of sand, and they dump it to plug the hole. And the restaurant owners were there, and they were very appreciative of the county, the local municipality doing this program, because it has saved their buildings. And, you know, we talk about our street flooding on South Atlantic. And, you know, Chairman Brower, part of his campaign, he was talking about the home sites that were in Wilbur by the Sea that, you know, were up for sale in the marketplace and concerned that they were going to put seawalls up and South Atlantic was going to be washed away. Well, it's the exact same thing. So what I'd like to do is just to start a general discussion. And, you know, this is something that would not cost Ponce Inlet anything. This is something the county would have to be willing to do, but it would affect every municipality in Volusia County. So just I would like permission to try to get this started and just see where it goes.
Oh, I am, first of all, so appreciative that you even accumulated this information and that you're willing to take the time and present it. I mean, you certainly have my support, Skip, and the reality is there's so many things working together in the county right now that I think the timing is impeccable. So that's how I feel.
Yeah. That's fine.
I think we're all delighted to support you with this. Is that a fair statement, everyone?
Well, and like I said, one last thing. You know, I actually have videos from years ago, and I have where the flood water is actually coming in and going up Beach Street, halfway up the hill, coming back and going north and south on South Atlantic. So it's not just verbal. Actually, you know, Jessica's taught me. She said, hey, you know, photos are worth 1,000 words. So if you guys are good with that, I'll start on the 26th at the meeting, and we'll see how it goes.
Wonderful, Skip. Thank you. Is there anything else? No. Bill?
Real quick, I hope everybody that attended the First Step Shelters Gala had a good time. And one quick thing, they celebrated the 5 years, and as of the fifth year, the end, we have 1,732 people coming to the shelter. We've served 330,000 plus meals, and of the 1,732 that started the shelter, 855 completed the entire program, and 94% of them are still in housing through the 5 years. So we know it works. This year, funding-wise, we did better than last year, so we're waiting for that last match to see what happens. But thank you, Ponce Inlet.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Yesterday, I attended the Florida League of Cities Advocacy Committee meeting, and I wish to alert the council of the following bills. The first you know about, that's HB 301, Sovereign Immunity. You have my letter that I prepared on our behalf explaining that a quadrupling of the current cap of $200,000 to $1 million per person and $300,000 to $3 million per incident, it would be catastrophic on municipalities. But the bill did pass the House Civil Justice and Claims Subcommittee yesterday, 17 to 1. So it's moving. It is moving through the legislature. The second bill is HB 357, Property Tax Exemptions. This is a joint resolution proposing an amendment that would create a $100,000 exemption from assessed value of real property, and that includes residential, commercial, homesteaded, and non-homesteaded properties. If this exemption passes, it compels us to reduce the assessed value for every parcel in our city by $100,000. Revenue stream. SB 852, there is a study to eliminate property taxes. Now, this bill seeks to replace property tax revenues through budget reductions, sales-based consumption taxes, and locally determined consumption taxes authorized by the legislature. Now, what happens next with all these bills is I obtain data from the town that will show the negative impact upon our revenues, the impact on our services, and essentially a decline to our quality of life here. And after I have the data, I will meet with our Volusia legislators, Representative Chase Tremont, and then, of importance, Representative Partington. He's the former mayor of Ormond, and we've known each other for many years, and we've interacted with his city, and he's aware of what a municipal budget means. I intend on also meeting with Senator Leak and Senator Wright. So those were three of the bills that we talked about, and I just thought you all would be interested in those. Couple of other things is Chief Scales and I will have an update on what we've researched and learned at next month's council meeting on agenda items for the town's wellness program and underground utility cables. And I'd like to tell you on the issue of a state-sanctioned bear hunting, due to the absence of data on this subject, I'm now recommending that we draft a letter to the Fish and Wildlife Service instead of a formal resolution. In conducting my research for data, Dr. Helgren, chair of the Department of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at the University of Florida, was kind enough to give me about an hour of his time to discuss this topic. In addition, I interacted with Kate McFall, Florida State Director for the Humane Society of America, and Grant Gelhart of the Sahara Club Conservation Committee. Well, the solution, in my humble opinion, is simple yet powerful. Education and responsible waste management. By properly disposing our food and securing our trash, we can dramatically reduce human-bear interactions. These non-lethal measures have proven effective time and time again. The Fish and Wildlife Commission will meet May 25th in Ocala, and that's when they're going to consider the state-sanctioned bear hunt. I would like the council's support that I go and represent us and speak at that meeting. I don't have data other than, obviously, our feeling is that it's an inhumane and unnecessary practice because there's less invasive ways in which to handle this. So if I have that from all of you, I'd like to go and speak on our behalf.
Absolutely.
Thank you. No data. And it doesn't surprise you, Cliff, I can see that. Okay. As chair of the roundtable of the Volusia elected officials, I had mentioned to you the creation of a subcommittee on stormwater management and flooding in our county. And this is the subcommittee that's co-chaired by Councilman Johansson and Mayor Miller. Well, the subcommittee met a couple weeks ago, and I want to share with you from the meeting, which is a public meeting, and this is going to be reported to the roundtable in March. I want to express to you what is the mission of this subcommittee. The Stormwater Management and Flooding Subcommittee is focused on enhancing flood resilience and mitigation strategies to future storms in Volusia County through the coordination and collaboration between Volusia cities and Volusia County. And we came up with a number of recommendations, and I just want to highlight a few for you. We want to provide a repository for with summaries of each municipality's specific flooding problems, create GIS mapping for the public. This would be data point of flooding and our hotspots, and link to all the city's websites. Provide a comprehensive resource list of available flood and hazard mitigation funding for capital projects, and identify regional county projects. The plan is to work together for solutions and ensure that what one municipality is doing doesn't adversely affect another municipality. And since water doesn't recognize jurisdictional boundaries, we need a regional approach, and we want regional projects, and funding has to be considered. So we have to work together with the cities, and that's what this subcommittee is all about. And lastly, I just want to say that Mike and I attended a seminar, and there were various flooding solutions. We listened to some engineers and some contractors, but what I was so excited about is they mentioned our living shoreline, that, and that's what we discussed today, and this was one of the suggestions in that. And that is all I have. Does anyone have any questions on any of it? No. And now, Mike, if you would like to give the report.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, touching on a couple things, on the first page of your report, it mentions the different county council meetings that have occurred. The first one, I was able to watch the first hour of the county's meeting on the 11th when they were talking about this new stormwater regulations and a low-impact development that they just passed. The first hour was a presentation by their county development engineer, Tad Casebeer. And if you ever want to learn how to design a stormwater pond, it is excellent. Yeah, I learned a lot from that. And this guy, just so you know, he used to work in the private sector. So he did this for a living, working with local engineering firms, building subdivisions. So he knows his stuff in and out. But I just thought that was, I came away really impressed with that. And these ordinances that they passed, by the way, it kind of seems almost miraculous. They have this big meeting, you know, talking about flooding, and then boom, they have these ordinances ready to go. These things took years to develop. Yeah, I've talked with the county staff. They had actually had these things ready to go, I want to say in 2021 or 22. But then after Hurricane Ian hit, there was an order from the governor that said you cannot, if you're within like 100 miles of the landfall or where the eye hit, you can't pass any regulation that might be more restrictive. And so they had to put these on hold for a certain number of months. They're just now able to pass them. The second thing, on the meeting that was held just on Tuesday, item 11, and Councilman Reinhardt touched on this, but this is the contract with Halifax Paving. And it's kind of interesting the way that it's worded. It's described as a berm. This berm, though, happens to be for every linear foot of property along the shoreline, 8 cubic yards of sand is dumped. If you can imagine, that's almost a whole dump truck for every foot of property along the shoreline. 8 cubic yards, that's the same as about 216 cubic feet. If you can imagine that, the length, 216 foot long, 1 foot tall pile of sand, or if you want to stack it up, you know, it's a lot of sand for every foot of shoreline. That's the berm, quote unquote berm, that they're talking about. It's a huge amount of sand. All right, some new items. I'd send this to the council just to give you all a heads up about there's a meeting in Port Orange coming up on the 18th where they're going to be talking about fluoridation of the water. Of course, we buy our water from Port Orange. We are a customer just like any other customer. This is, of course, you've heard this being discussed at the state level, national level. Some other cities have already taken action on this, namely the city of Ormond Beach has decided to do away with that from their own water source, whereas Daytona has decided not to touch it. They don't want to discuss it at all. So Port Orange is going to be having this meeting. There's no official presentation or reports issued yet. Just yesterday, I was able to get some background material. There's a legal memo. I haven't had a chance to review any of this stuff, but there's a little bit of information that's out there. I wanted to bring this to your attention in case you wish to discuss it and or form some sort of opinion of it that we can take to Port Orange. That the appropriate time to do that would be at a special meeting, I believe, where we can bring all this information to you to date that we have. Or if you don't have an opinion, that's fine. But I was looking for some sort of direction from you with that today. And also, just to mention, they did give us a point of contact. If a member of the public has an opinion and they wish to write into the city about their opinion, they can do that, and we can publicize that.
Mike, what I thought when I had been reading about this, I know that some municipalities have taken a formal position. They've done an ordinance. What I'm wondering is maybe what would work for Ponce Inlet is that as long as the public is made fully aware and that notice is given to them through our Facebook, through email, you know, who's ever on our email as a subscriber, say if you have a strong opinion, this is who you contact and maybe you want to go to the meeting. Now, that's one thing. I don't know if you feel the need to move forward with a special meeting for us.
And Mayor, I agree with what you just said. My biggest concern, and I don't have an opinion, I really don't, but making sure that the residents have an opportunity, and that's dead on. I agree. Let's get the message out there and go from there.
Is that okay with all of you? I don't think a special meeting is the best. I think what's more important is that we get the residents aware that they have an opportunity to be heard. Okay, is that all right, Mike?
Yeah, that's great.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. Well, let me just a few other items here. Ponce Inlet Police Department conducted a pedestrian crosswalk safety detail yesterday. That was their typical spot. They found during that time there were 7 violators. They were able to make 6 traffic stops from that. And then all drivers received education as primarily an educational tool, while 1 received an actual citation. 5 out of the 6 drivers were out of state. So this is something I think we did that twice last year, and we're going to do this as a regular thing. Let's see, next Tuesday, we will be receiving another batch of air potato beetles to release into Ponce Preserve. These beetles will eat the potato root itself, not just the leaves, which can kill the vine before it grows. Jackie and her staff, they can film this and post it on Facebook just like they did last time. 2 more, the Public Works annual tree trimming, that's going to be starting February 28th through March 28th. We're going to have a rollout dumpster here at Town Hall parked in the corner, and that's really going to help the crews that are working on the north side of town. They can just take it there instead of having to go back and forth to Public Works while they're doing that. And then the last thing, the town of Ponce Inlet is launching a podcast to keep residents informed and engaged. And right now there's a naming contest. That's as far as it's gone right now. They're having a naming contest, and I've already gotten a lot of submissions from that. And then if you are not on social media and you want to provide your suggestions, you can email our PIO, Becky Hugler, at rhugler@ponceinlet.org. So that's it.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff?
Just briefly, I assume that everybody on council understands the potential magnitude of that sovereign immunity increase, but if you don't, it is potentially devastating. And let me explain, not just because of the liability amounts, but because even if the amounts are covered by insurance, the cost of your insurance is going to go up. Reason being, right now, when you have insurance through the league, They know the caps, and so they don't have the exposure for millions of dollars in claims. But if they have the exposure for millions of dollars in claims, your premiums are going to go up. That will affect your annual budget. I would suggest to you, and I'm happy to do the letter, but if not, somebody should write a letter or at least request an actual commitment from the Volusia County delegation that sits in Tallahassee, who I believe is 100% Republican. How that tracks, how does it track if you're going to be fiscally conservative to put on local governments that kind of level of liability? Because it doesn't track any more than their support for home rule until they don't support it when they get to Tallahassee. It's magic what that stretch of road between I-95 and I-10 does to somebody's thinking. I don't get it, but I'm just telling you, this is a dangerous thing, and it will break some cities, 100%. Secondarily, and the most important thing is, tomorrow's Grandparents' Day at my young grandson's preschool or daycare, and that means a couple of important things. A, someone else is going to make breakfast for me tomorrow, but B, I don't have to go to the trainer that is absolutely trying to kill me because he gets joy out of it. So that is a good day for me tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Cliff. Maybe I can speak further with you about a letter, because the letter, and I think you got a copy of the letter that I wrote to the legislators that were sitting on that subcommittee. That was just, we were asked to get a letter out to the subcommittee members, but I have not approached our Volusia legislators. And if you think that more can be added to the points that I made in that, I would appreciate that.
I just think we need to get a commitment from the people who we vote for as to how they're going to vote, because they should be shooting this down and should be leading the charge to shoot it down.
Okay. I understand that then. So we are up to, I believe, our final public comments. Is there anybody left who wishes to speak?
Mayor, I did want to make one more announcement, I forgot, and that's just a brief update on our septic to sewer funding.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you,
yeah,
Mike.
Our project has been in limbo, and it's been kind of interesting because we've heard that this is now, after we have an executed loan agreement with DEP as of last October, in November, we hear that all of a sudden the eligibility of this whole thing is being questioned, and that's coming from EPA. So it was at that point we started reaching out to our federal legislative delegation. We have finally heard back from some of them. Senator Scott's office specifically has been helpful, and he has asked us to, we have to fill out a Privacy Consent Act form, but basically allows him to talk with EPA. So they're going to try to get that resolved. We've also, at the suggestion of our lobbyist, wrote a letter to one of the former deputy directors of DEP, who has now been promoted to the same position at EPA. So we think she's in a very unique position to help us. She knows the system, she knows the programs, and then she's going to be up there where she can help. So that's the latest. We're just staying tuned.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you for the update. And now, are there any comments based upon what you just heard? Okay, seeing none, our council meeting is adjourned as of 4:57. Thank you, everyone.